Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We made it to Friday once again. So congrats to you on that one. Let's have an amazing weekend. We'll do another edition of GD Live coming up for LA Live at 5:40, but that not until we're done with what you're drinking and what you're thinking. Start here in 20 minutes. So if you're cracking them right now, go ahead and give James Tritely a phone call. He'll screen you up. We'll be ready to rock and roll. Let's sit back and enjoy an edition of football's finest, though. Here's Wolchuk.
Well, some coaching extensions as the news that just came in about 10 minutes ago. Ravens are signing longtime head coach John Harbaugh to a three-year contract extension. Before the extension, he was heading into the final year of his deal.
So 18 years he's been with them?
Yep, he sure has. So owner Steve Bisciotti has long said that he doesn't want a lame duck head coach.
Nope.
This goes ahead and stops that from happening. So don't. And I did see there are some frustrations with Raven fans.
Yep.
You know, it's like it's the same thing with Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
If you're not actually getting to the ultimate,
a lot of winning going on there.
But yeah, they're winners, man.
A lot of playoff winning going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I'm right about that. Yeah.
No, a lot of right. winning.
No, you're right.
You really are.
He needs to thank Mike Lombardi for bringing him in the league. Mike hired him.
Philly?
Yeah. Mike.
He started as a special teams coach, right?
Special teams coach. Mike was like, look, Mike knew the Harbaughs. You know, he knew, but. He was like, man, this brother, Mike was talking, I guess, everybody knows talk about gym coach and this, that, and the other. And he goes, no, this brother they got, I think even better. I think he's going to be a better head coach. And
more buttoned up, too.
Yeah, and Mike's like, I'm going to bring him into the league. And yeah, and he was just like a coach at Indiana. And it was going to go on and just do that. And
wow.
Mike said, nah, we're going to name you a special teams coach, and away he went. But
I remember in 07 when the Ravens hired him.
Yeah.
It was like, they're hiring the special teams coach.
Oh, no, this guy can coach.
There was the Jason Garrett rumors that he was going to go get the head coaching job there, and then they ended up going with Harbaugh.
Garrett interviewed for Atlanta and the
Baltimore.
Ravens.
Yep.
Jeez.
I know. How different could history have been?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Deion Sanders also got a new pay raise. He's going to make $200,000 a week with his new contract. Goes down to $20 a minute. $900,000 per month. They have the full breakdown here, but congratulations to Prime as he is more than tripling the salary of the next highest paid Colorado Buffalo head coach, who was making $3.8 million. He's now making over $10 million a year. So,
cha-ching!
There you go, Prime. Get it. And then finally, I saw
tackling more bills.
He sure is. I saw ESPN is going to be releasing a 6-part documentary on the 2024 Chiefs. Giving an inside look at their season and players' lives on and off the field, essentially like an in-season Hard Knocks. The series is produced by the same people that did The Last Dance. Do we have interest in this? I mean, they did end up losing in the Super Bowl, but a 6-part documentary on the Chiefs this year? Were we asking for this? Do you think that this is going to go over well?
I'll take it. I'm not asking for it, but I think the more Chiefs content, the merrier.
Give me all the Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Wonder how much Travis Kelce we get in there.
I wish teams would do more, and it's not going to happen anymore after what happened with the Giants.
I know, I loved
last
it,
year.
Though.
We're not going to see any more front office stuff.
It was my favorite version of Hard Knocks.
We're not,
the
I mean, people,
the off-season
people,
stuff.
People are going to go, we are not going to subject ourselves to
never
that
again.
Crap.
Never
you know?
Again.
And, but hey, but you honestly saw everyday life of an NFL team when it came to the front office that way.
So Tony Romo was with Bryson DeChambeau on the Break 50 series.
Oh, and they're playing golf.
They're playing golf out there. And we know Romo's a good golfer.
Yeah.
But Bryson is talking with Romo, and they ask about, you know, what's the greatest celebration in the NFL for you?
Okay, what's your best, like, celebration you've ever had? Like, in a moment, a game-time situation. What's your favorite celebration that you remember?
NFL
like,
or golf?
NFL.
We were against the Lions in 2014 in the playoffs, and I remember walking out to the field with like 7-8 minutes to go, and I could remember when I was a kid in 2007 against the Giants, and the feelings were so different. Like, you knew now that you you know the game at that point. Mm-hmm. But we're going against the number one defense in the league, which is never what you want to do, you know, or who to go against in a playoff game. I just remember thinking, like, man, I wish I knew what I know now back then. Mm. Because in 07, we had a great team, and we lost to the Giants. And that one, you know, we went out there and we went down, and I threw a touchdown to Terrence Williams in the back of the end zone late in the game. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, because I threw it, and I'm down on the ground, and I'm just right there, and I'm just, like,
hitting the ground.
And I'm just sitting there, and it's just you thinking about your whole career, your life, everything, and family, everyone who's been a part of it. It was just a cool moment, just, you know, just excited and stuff.
So that's awesome. That's really cool.
Got tackled from behind, right?
Yeah.
He climbing the pocket.
He fired to the back of the end zone with Terrence Williams. Yeah. Comeback victory. Obviously, there was the controversy with the Anthony Hitchens pass interference that they picked back up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back in that entire series of playoffs, like each round, you had the controversy. It was Anthony Hitchens, then it was the Dez catch, and then you had the onside kick thing with Green Bay and Seattle in the next round. But yeah, that 2014 version of Tony Romo really had it all together. I mean, it certainly helped him that he finally had a running game to take the pressure off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he talked about it there where, like, he understood and he knew the game. Like, mentally, you could tell that he was just locked in.
That might have been the loudest I've ever heard AT&T Stadium for a Cowboy game.
Yeah.
When that score and then the defensive series and stuff, I mean, it was crazy.
And then DeMarcus Lawrence twice had to get this. Like, I was sitting top in the like 400 section, and we had some Lion fans around us.
Oh, gosh.
God, that was amazing. It really was. It was an incredible moment. And then everyone's chanting, "We want Green Bay," leaving AT&T, and almost had them. I mean, I'll never forget Romo talking about the Dez throw. I mean, for both of their careers. Like, that was the moment. Like, that he says it. It would have been the greatest throw of my career. And for Dez, it was the play of his career.
I still to this day can't believe he threw it. I mean,
yeah, me neither.
I could close my eyes and I saw Cole Beasley dragging. And I thought, he's going to hit Cole and Cole's going to run and get the first down. And I'm like, God, Cole's open. Oh, God. And you see the ball. Mm-hmm. You see the ball flight. And I'm looking down at Dez, and he's got Sam Shields, like, tied up. Like, Sam Shields can't stay with him. And they're banging each other down the field. And I'm like, damn. And that ball, when Dez went, God, I'm like, that was one of the greatest catches that I'd ever seen in that of a magnitude of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can't believe he threw that ball.
Yeah, I can't either. Ballsy. Didn't he have Beasley wide open?
Oh, no, for first down. Drag. Yeah, that could say Beasley.
Like fourth and three or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he literally with the game on the line, he throws it up. And it Dez, to his credit, man, he put Sam Shields where he couldn't get him. I mean, Sam was just like, he just kept pushing him down, and he went up, and it was what a great play, though. My gosh, what a great play.
I love the Romo story. I liked him as a player. You know, I have nothing against Romo, but I do agree with the narrative that he would try to make too big of a play. And a lot of times it was interceptions. That one was a great throw.
Yeah.
But the hell? There's 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. Take the save.
Why are we trying to go up 4 points right now or whatever? What would that put them up? 3 points?
Yeah.
Why?
No, because you're right. There still would have been a lot of time left.
They're saying, everybody's saying it wouldn't have mattered because they really. And Aaron Rodgers was hurt with the calf injury.
He was gimping around.
He was gimping around. It was bad. The biggest play of that game.
They go on a 4 minute drive right there, don't they?
They did.
Absolutely. Yeah. They killed the clock out. The biggest play of that game was the DeMarco Murray fumble.
Sure was. Yeah.
He had a touchdown. That was the one that was killer in the game.
Julius Peppers, man.
Yeah, just reaching in, punches the ball out of his hands.
That hole, I've never seen a hole bigger.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
And the thing about it was, like you said, if Dallas wins that game, early in the season, they had killed Seattle.
They went there and
Seattle
kicked their ass.
Did not have an answer stopping Dallas's running game.
No, it's that season's definitely the one you look back and think, like, what could have been there. And certainly for Romo, because afterwards it was the back hurt him the next year.
It was a very flawed defense.
Very flawed. They lived off of turnovers.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't get the ball back.
Yeah, 100%.
Could not get the ball back.
I mean, they had Jeremy Mincy was one of their best edge rushers.
Yeah.
You know, that was a patchwork type of D that was just trying to force some turnovers, keep you in it, bend, don't break. That was all about ball control, keep your defense off the field. Kirk Cousins has started a lot of rumors as he was caught in Cleveland at a Chipotle locally. Now everyone in Cleveland is running with this story that they're about to trade for Kirk Cousins.
Cleveland,
yeah. I don't think that this is true by any means.
Did they trade for Pickett?
I think he was just there. They did, but I mean, it's Kenny Pickett. You know, do you really want to give the keys to your team to Kenny Pickett? I mean, as a backup, hell yeah, let's do this. But at a Cleveland area Chipotle, I think he was just in the area maybe for an appearance or for charity work, and it's coincidence. But he did play for Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota.
Sure did.
There is a connection there. We're still waiting to find out what exactly Myles Garrett was grinning about when he decided to sign that contract and said it was all about the quarterback. It's really all about the Benjamins there, Miles. We know the truth. It wasn't about the damn quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, though, I'm just going to stick with it, you know, because I said it. Now I got to stand on it. And if it doesn't happen, then I'll eat the crow.
Like that guy in Cleveland, the broadcaster.
Yeah, well,
you heard it here first.
That guy's
Remember
gone. I don't know where that guy even is since then. He's gone into like hiding ever since this thing went viral. We haven't heard from him.
He's a legend.
Bruce Drennan. But we got a little crawfishing going on here, boys. Oh. We touched on this yesterday during our abbreviated show. Here was Dion, who actually joined Skip Bayless's show, which I was a little bit shocked by.
But Skip has a show?
Yeah, Skip Bayless has a podcast that he does. Oh, everyone's got a podcast. It's also on YouTube. So here's Prime with Skip, and he's talking about Shador.
You know me, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. So I called that team because I tracked it down. I knew who it was. And I called the head coach, and we had a candid conversation.
Really? Good. Good for you.
We were really cool. And he said, Prime, that never happened. He said, matter of fact, it was a great interview. We all walked out of there saying, dang, this kid got it. I said, yeah, but this guy on your staff lied and said it did. So you need to check him. And he did. Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams. So I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
Well, I mean, this is a big pivot from just a few months ago when it was like, yeah, we're not going to go play in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were thinking maybe this would be like a Manning deal where depending on the team that wanted to draft Shador, behind closed doors, Dion had said that he would have a conversation and no, we're not going to go to this team. Now it's kind of like with the uncertainty of where he's going to land. Hey, whoever wants him, as long as it's a team that needs a quarterback, go ahead. We're happy, man. We're thrilled.
I give him credit for understanding that Ward is a better quarterback right now. You know, that if you watch, you know, he's come to realize, and probably with Dion, he's probably called enough teams to say, hey, listen, where you got? Well, listen, Dion, no offense, but got Ward at one, your son at two. Or, you know, I mean, if you're honest, you're honest. But I think you're at the realization where you just realize that there's a better quarterback out there than your son. And he should be happy wherever he goes, you know, instead of saying, oh, well, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that. Just, you know, go and enjoy the experience and do the best you can.
Well, you did have the Titans GM, who was just at the workout for Cam Ward and following the workout.
Yeah.
The team website interviews him, and he says, quote, I would say everything's still on the table. From the beginning, I said I wanted to go through the whole process, and I felt like our priority was to build the offensive line first, and we added Dan Moore and Kevin Zeitler.
Mm.
Now we're going through the process here with the college quarterbacks, but I'd say everything is still on the table. So he says this right after the workout with Cam Ward in Miami. I'm not buying it. I still think the Titans are taking Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Yes, they signed a veteran quarterback here recently. I think it was Tim Boyle went ahead and signed there. Who cares?
They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Yeah. It's Tim Boyle. Like, that's not going to stop them from drafting one. I do believe Cam Ward's going to the Titans at one, but I could also see them shopping the pick.
Yes, you could trade down, and I ideally would want the offensive line before the quarterback because I don't want to throw the quarterback out there to get beat up, and we're not ready to win, right? If you get a great quarterback with a bad offensive line, he'll put you in the playoffs, and now you're picking 15th or 20th instead of top five, right? So we're picking offensive linemen until we get that, then we're taking the quarterback, but you know, trading back seems awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, do you want Cam Ward bad enough? You want to come up from 3-1 and get him? I mean, if you're
the Jets, the way they've set up their quarterback room, it doesn't appear that's going to be the case.
It doesn't appear that way, but it's a lot of guys that are kind of on a one-year deal.
No,
I totally
understand what you're saying there,
but it is definitely a kind of more of a win now move.
This GM is trying to save his job. He doesn't have time for your quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's say it ends up being like a Michael Penix situation where they do get Cam Ward or Shador. And so they start Russell Wilson, whatever it is, and then it doesn't end up going well. So at the end of the year, you put in Shador or Cam Ward, and they look good. So the it seems like you've got a future. Do you save your job that way?
Well, then you're an idiot. You should have played him. You should have found a way to tell the, the coach.
Save the money on the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, why am I? Okay, it's the same thing that Arthur Blank's asking. Why why'd you make me sign this quarterback if you intently wanted to play this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think
even
ultimately,
if it's for cheap deals.
Ultimately, if nobody wants to trade up though, and you're the Titans, you got to just take Cam Ward and say, hey, go in the ideal chronology of what we wanted, but we're definitely not turning down an opportunity to get a quarterback like this. It is time now for that one segment of the week where you're encouraged to call in while intoxicated or in the process of catching a buzz. That's right, at 877-881-1053. It's time for what you're drinking and what you thinking. Next on the Fan. Here we go. It's quitting time. Crack them if you got them at 877-881-1053. You can text into the show as well what you're drinking and what you're thinking. And if you're super funny, we'll read it. Segment is brought to you by the On Time Experts. That is your Expressway sponsor. Salute to the On Time Experts. And LA Live, GD Live is coming up here in about 20 minutes or so after we get through your phone calls. Looks like we got some legends on hold already, but a couple of phone lines are open. And let me start. I'm going to tell you, I'm drinking a 20-ounce Diet Pepsi. The concession company we use here at 75 and Fitzhugh, a little slow on the uptake. I think you could say not necessarily playing with a full deck, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You have the number one consumer in the world of Diet Cokes here in your building. And we're in a run of 3 weeks in a row now with none. None. I'm buying
don't do inventory on this stuff. I mean, like you see that the Diet Cokes are all gone.
Yeah.
But you insist on putting Diet Pepsis in the.
Well, they probably think all the Diet Pepsis are selling as well because I'm now buying all of those. They probably think they got
I don't know how you could do inventory and like, we're selling a lot of Diet Cokes and maybe we should keep more of them out here.
Yeah, yeah. That's
supply and demand kind of thing.
That is actually not what is top of mind for me right now.
Okay.
What I am thinking is...
You want it to rain right now is what you want it to do.
Wouldn't mind a little bit of rain. Got a game in Austin this weekend. Yeah. 2 o'clock tomorrow down there. Looking forward to playing Lone Star. But wouldn't mind a reschedule, you know?
Wouldn't be the worst.
No, it'll be all right. Looking forward to getting down to Austin tomorrow, Brian. How about you?
I was in Austin last week. It was a little warm. Watching LSU Tigers get beat up by the Texas Longhorns in baseball. Currently not drinking anything. I want to ask you guys a question real quick if I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to Tim McMahon's book launch party tomorrow.
Nice.
Got invited to go to that.
Hell yeah.
Okay. But on the invitation, they're saying taking Uber is recommended or encouraged.
Okay.
Is that a, we don't have parking or you're going to get hammered here at McMahon's party?
I would say both.
Yeah, probably both, but definitely a lack of parking, I would assume.
Okay. It's at a house.
Sounds lovely.
That's probably going to be a tough deal.
Heavy pour, heavy handed. They don't want people driving home hammered.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Getting into wrecks.
And knowing Tim, it's going to be a lot of cocktailing going on.
I think so.
I didn't know with the Uber or Lyft recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sign of like, okay, you're going to get drunk or there's just no parking?
And you guys have Mardi Gras Brian, but also you're not going to be able to park.
No, I'm not going to do Mardi Gras Brian.
I would think as a host, I'm not that worried about the parking situation. I'm more worried about, you know, having blood on my hands.
People driving home.
Yeah. And he wants people to know they're going to have a really good time when they get there.
Yeah. That's
real good.
Okay.
Don't be looking at your watch and counting your drinks and, oh, man, I want to be at 0.08. I'm all. No, he wants you to rage.
Okay.
Have a great time. Sounds like you're going to have a great party this weekend. Wolchuk.
I've been sipping on some high-quality H2O. I'm wondering, we do still have some lines open here. So if you have been like, I've wanted to get into what you're drinking, what you're thinking, and I haven't been able to, now would be your chance, 877-881-1053. Also, when it comes to Jack Leiter tonight, third time through the order, that's been the hiccup for him. That's been the area. So how does he do? Hopefully the first two times he's able to do a good job. But that third time through, what does Boach do? Does he end up going to the pen? Does he put him back out there? And if he does, keep an eye on that third time through the order for Jack Leiter tonight. That'll be telling.
Looking forward to that and looking forward to going into the Pimp Cup where James Tritely can tell us what he's drinking and thinking as he's screening up these phone calls.
Very much like Woolchuck over there, some high-quality H2O. Had the strawberry apricot Red Bull to start the show today. Phenomenal. If you haven't had it, I would give yourself a try. Sugar or sugar-free, you get the same flavor. You feel a little bit healthier with that sugar-free, but who cares? We're all dying anyway. Ooh. Might as well make it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Amen. Tritely,
remember that.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Got to enjoy every day.
Yeah,
you do. And sugar will go a long way towards that, your enjoyment. Not all people drink, says the 972, but everyone has to drive and park. So the message is about parking.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, sure. I think I might have been off there. That makes more sense to me. 469, drinking water, thinking Nico is a part of the Rangers because they made a stupid move in removing the World Series banner.
That is a weird choice.
I liked that banner.
I did, you know, too. It looked cool. I guess that was always going to be the case, but
let's get a replacement.
Yeah.
Let's get an even fancier and maybe more, I don't know.
I was thinking
compact one. Compact replacement.
Compact. I was thinking one that was like the size of a tarp they put on the field. Like, just takes up the whole outfield.
I wouldn't mind that.
But yeah, just remind everybody at one time we won this thing a couple years ago.
Yep, that was us.
Permanent outfield art.
Yeah, just a huge banner. It might be the size of a tarp that you put on the field to prevent the rain.
At 877-881-1053, drinking the champagne of beers. That'd be your Miller High Life.
Miller High Life. That's a great fishing beer, by the way.
I'm thinking, I'm so glad the General is in Texas. What? I'm getting some love here. I remember when he was on Evenings with Chris Arnold. Yeah, that was 2010 through 2013, late 2010 through 2013. Then we went middays, and then we joined Broadus here in afternoon drive in, 2020?
2020.
That was right.
Right around the pandemic.
Right when COVID kicked off. That
right
week in spring training.
The week of COVID, yeah.
Was Brian's first week. Let's go to line one here. We're going to get through as many phone calls as possible, and it's Polo and Garland. You're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking, buddy?
Guys, I put my son to sleep. He's right next to me. I can't be too loud, but I'm eating some fried chicken that I cooked up. I cooked some fried biscuits. A lot of people in Texas don't eat fried biscuits in Florida, Texas, but fried biscuits are out the chain. Now, what I'm thinking is South Carolina's in a tangle
they
with
are.
Maryland on this game right now. I don't know if y'all watching it.
We are.
I'm going for Maryland because I can't stand South Carolina. let me ask you a question, bro. Gavin, you know you're my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right at the freeway for y'all on Mockingbird, on the same side of the freeway, SMU just hired a dude, Damon Evans. I don't know too much about this dude, but let me ask you a question, Gavin.
Yeah. He's from Maryland.
Okay, yeah, you're from Maryland. I just said that.
I didn't hear you because you're quiet today because your kid's next to you.
Come on, Barnes, I'm talking to Gavin. Now, Gavin, yeah. if you were in charge of SMU athletics with all the pure football players, basketball players, soccer players all across Dallas-Fort Worth, where would you start recruiting at? And how would you build an SMU? Because last athletic director, he did okay for 30 years. I'm trying to see what this other dude can do. I'm glad they hired a brother. Got to go. Bye.
There he goes. That's Polo in Garland. Yeah, I think you'd have to get down there in that 67 range, wouldn't you? And DeSoto and Cedar Hill and Duncanville. That's where you're going to start.
They have, right?
That's where they're starting quarterbacks from.
Yeah.
Okay, fried biscuits, by the way, we would do those as a kid, but we'd call them donuts. We'd put butter and powdered sugar on them.
Okay.
You know, you just
like a dessert.
You just take the biscuits out of the tin, and then you drop them in the fryer.
It's delicious.
They come out amazing. Fresh donuts, basically. Line two, Dope Sick Dave, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking?
How we doing, fellas? Just the water right now. We'll get into something else later. You know, all my calls, every time I've spoken about the Mavs over the past 2 months or so since Luka was traded, I was pretty optimistic about our chances. Obviously, AD hasn't really played. As long as he stays healthy, I like our chances, even with no Kyrie. We beat the Thunder twice, both without Luka. It's not like Kyrie put the team on his back and put up 30, 40, or 50. Dinwiddie was the leading scorer in one of those games. And obviously, we're missing some bigs, but I think the current team as it is, you see, even signing Ty Jones, right? We had a guy that was taller than 6'7". Not having a center really hurts.
Yeah.
And I think if we have Gafford, it looks like we're probably going to play OKC if we make the playoffs, which I think we will. If you have AD in there and Gafford at the same time, you can stretch the floor with one of their bigs. Let's say AD is playing the five at some point. So you stretch Chet out to the outside. You got Gafford and AD in there. You can have AD guarding Jalen Williams and Gafford on Chet. I like our chances. We've kind of been a kryptonite to the Thunder since last season. And I don't know, guys. I'm feeling good. Y'all have a good weekend.
Appreciate the call, Dope Sick Dave.
I
don't
optimism.
Terribly disagree with you. You got to get Lively and Gafford back. If you do that, you know, you got to get P.J. Washington healthy.
Yeah, you
got
do.
Three sprained ankles in 2 months.
And Kai Jones is hurt now, too.
Man, we don't need him. Just get Lively and Gafford back.
Got to get the three sprained ankle guy back.
Yeah. This is unbelievable with this sprained ankle, dude. Get this guy a brace.
Oh, it's annoying.
Get this guy one of those lace-up braces. This training staff, bro.
Jeez.
Line three is Magic Mike in Hazlitt. You're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking and what you thinking?
Boys, you know it's ready for the weekend, so we've got to do a little Liquid Death Green Guillotine because you got to hydrate to dehydrate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Grand scheme of things, I'm going to be honest. I think the Mavericks might as well consider it part of the preseason right now and getting their mojo together. They don't even exist for me right now. Wow. I'm so excited about our Rangers coming back and for a little Bochy magic in that second year after. I'm just saying. That's got me geared up in these stars. So, anyway, y'all have a great weekend, and giddy up.
Salute. There giddy he goes.
The voice.
Magic Mike.
The voice of God.
Yeah.
Phenomenal pipes.
Yeah.
I mean, that those pipes are the equivalent of a male dancer, I feel like. That's the name Magic Mike, you know, calling to the main stage. Liquid Death Green Guillotine. I mean, the way he says things, it just sounds poetic.
It does. Absolutely does.
Mavs don't even exist to him right now. It might as well be the preseason.
You jump back on, though. You're okay. I mean, with you back on, they'll be fine.
I'm definitely watching it.
Here comes the run.
Can't rule it out.
Here comes the run.
Woo! I told you they can score. They just need to play defense. Last night, they played defense.
I'm with you, man.
Big Jim's on line four.
Here's some pipes, too.
Yep. Jimmy, talk to us. What you drinking? What you thinking?
Well, I'm sipping now on some whiskey, of course, a little Basil Hayden's, and enjoyed the show this week, fellas. You got me all depressed here in the last segment talking about Romo and the year we should have won the Super Bowl and all that. But, hey, I had something to tell you, fellas. My old gal, she got me to – we went over to Austin and went to the – have y'all ever been to an IKEA before?
Yes. Yeah, one time I hated it.
I was all disappointed and like, what in the hell am I going to do? And then I got a little restaurant in there. Boy, you know what? Big Jim did?
You got some Swedish meatballs.
And I ate three big old pieces. No, I can't eat the meatball. I ate three big old pieces of salmon.
Oh, really?
As fat and happy as I've ever been. That's the best. And they sell that stuff. Yep. You know, my doctor told me I need to get off the red meat and eat more fish. I'll go back to IKEA anytime. I just sit there and drink me something and eat that fish. It was a really good time. So, I mean, if gals trying to drag you to IKEA, just go eat. It's so much fun. And I saw people eating them meatballs. They looked pretty good, but I couldn't eat one. I tell you what, I'm excited about our Rangers. I hate we didn't do great when we came out, but look, I think it's going to be a good year. I'm a big fan of Bochy. I just love hearing him talk. He's talking about the guy with the best voice. Bruce Bochy's got the best voice in the city. Maybe next to Gavin. Yeah. Gavin's got a good voice, of course.
Fourth or fifth. Anyway,
guys, thanks for the joy this week. Sweet. Y'all have a good one, and I'll talk at you next week.
There he goes, Big Jim.
What if they're cooking at IKEA? They're cooking that salmon on those planks.
Maybe
wooden planks.
I don't know. I think salmon's the most overrated thing. But I'm glad Big Jim enjoyed it. You know, it's very healthy
Big Jim,
too.
He's like you. Yep. He'd like a steak, but his doctors are telling him, Big Jim, you got to slow down. And
he's going to pivot to the fish,
not eat the tomahawk chop
every
night.
Good for him, man.
2007, by the way, average defense that year by the numbers did have, I think, the fourth best offense, 26 points per game.
Yeah.
But I like what Jim said about eating while everybody else in the family is shopping.
Yeah.
You know, I recently hit that point in my life, too, where I'm like, sure, I'll go. I'm not following you around holding stuff. I'm definitely not standing up for, 30, 45 minutes on end, just shuffling around, looking at the different things. Ooh, look at this. Look at that. Hours on end. You can forget that.
Look at here. Look at there.
Yeah. Give me some salmon and some red wine or something. Sounds much better.
You would as much as you hate salmon. You would go eat salmon to avoid shopping.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to line five. Greg, what you drinking and what you thinking?
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Terrific. Good, Greg. You?
Great.
I'm hanging in there. I just started out.
Oh, little... dang it.
Yeah, we got you there.
You're all right. You just can't say that word,
you can't
Greg.
Say that
go
word.
Ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shit. I got to clean it up. Sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. I just had starting with a little vodka, and I used to do the vodka tonics, but then these hard seltzers came out.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now I do a vodka with a hard seltzer.
Okay.
So I get a little bit of double whammy on that.
There
Look
you go.
At that.
Yeah.
And kind of roll with that.
Kind of a chemistry guy.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys quite a bit. I'm a fishing guide from Montana.
Ooh, cool.
And I had to, and unfortunately, like last year, my mother passed away in California, and I came here to Texas to take care of my uncle, and he's suffering dementia.
Mm.
So the last year or so, you know, it's been kind of a hard ride for me.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank you guys a lot because my great-grandfather, obviously he's gone, but I had him till I was 21. And he always used to tell me that I needed to learn something every day and make sure I laugh three times a day. And having you guys on, Fred and Blake at night, I got to give you guys a lot of credit that you always crack me up every day.
Nice.
And sometimes I shoot you guys some text here and there just to screw with you a little bit. But just playing, guys, playing. I'm a 56-year-old young boy. And like to have a good time, but I just wanted to thank the fan and everybody with the G-Bag Nation. And I forget the boys that are on in the morning, what they call their show, but.
Sean RJ. Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Thank you, Greg. Have a great night.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
Salute
you
to you.
Have a good one, and go Michigan State.
Cheers. Ooh, okay. Yeah, don't feel bad about saying the S word. Fred did the same thing last night.
Last night.
True.
He tried to act 20-year
broadcast vet.
He tried to act like he didn't, and he did.
It's like, how did he not know that he said S?
My man's a fishing guide out of Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
You imagine how many streams he stood in, how just every day, just how beautiful that is.
Yeah. God's country.
Gosh.
It's like, majestic beauty.
Jeez.
Zach and Carrollton, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking, Zach?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm driving, but when I get home, the miss is going to have a gin and tonic ready for me.
There you go.
Nice. Winning.
Yeah. I wanted to talk. You know, I know I listen to you guys a lot. I know Old Chuck and Broadus are big on the draft. And I'm actually a transplant from Nashville, and I really want the Titans actually to take Abdul Carter and then get one of the free agent QBs, but I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. But I think Cam Ward, you know, he might be pretty good if we take him. I just
He'll
hope
be
we
fine.
Don't, you know. Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's the second coming of McNair, but, you know,
no.
We had.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But, you know, we had Jake Locker, Mariota, Will Levis, Mayo Boy. You know, it's been hard being a Titans fan. But before I let y'all go, I just wanted to say the Titans ownership. Amy Adams Strunk is the female version of your very own Jerry Jones.
Ooh. Ooh.
If you guys follow, the Titans aren't, you know, but I'm still mad that we got rid of Vrabel.
There you go.
Oopsie.
Really
thank you, Zach. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy that gin and tonic.
Her dad, Bud Adams, was kind of an oil guy. I think it was oil and gas, but kind of a out there guy, you know, just always kind of. Bitching about things.
Bitching to be bitching.
But, you know, hopefully, the Titans, I wouldn't worry about that Ward guy.
I think Ward's going to be really good.
I think
good.
Ward's going to be fine for you. I really do.
How about 903 drinking a spiked steel reserve in the driveway, not shutting off the truck? Listen to the G-Bag Nation. Broadus is my hero.
Oh, thank
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
Salute to you.
What's he drinking?
A spiked steel reserve? Is that a steel reserve with a shot of vodka in it as well? Are we spiking drinks that we buy at the store
this
with
next level
with liquor?
I tell you,
salute
text
to you.
In if you would and tell us what that's all about.
Chris and Alan, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking, Chris?
Hey, guys. Right now I'm about 12 shots into a bottle of Casa Azul. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, buddy.
Make that 13.
Make that 13.
There you go.
There we
nice.
Go. Yeah.
A still reserve spike is actually a malt beverage still reserve mixed with like blue raspberry or something like that. Not too bad taste-wise.
I see them.
Wow. All right. Another chemist. I love this.
When I'm thinking about the Rangers and the taking down of the banner, 2023, they want to prove wasn't a fluke. 2024, they were injured, kind of fluky for 2023. This is the year the Rangers are going to go back. They're going to win the World Series. Mm. Stars are going to win the Stanley Cup.
All right.
Mavs are going to continue to suck because Nico's still the GM.
Okay.
Nailed it.
And until Jerry decides to get rid of the team, go Commanders.
Ooh. Wow, Chris, that was strong. Geez. Unexpected.
He saved it all to the very end.
Woo! Snuck that go Commanders in there. I'm not sure how I feel about that one.
Wow.
But I like what he said, you know, and maybe the Rangers feel like constant reminders that we were the World Series champs wasn't the best thing for our
fair
spirit, for our hunger last year. Let's take that down. You know,
I ain't getting rid of my shirts.
Focus on the next one. Let's put something up that they can't see when they're in the batter's box. No, I'm not getting rid of my shirts or my hat.
Oh, heck no.
Tim and Cedar Creek, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking, what you thinking, Timbo?
Hey, Gavin. I am heading down to Cedar Creek drinking a Dr. Pepper, all 23 flavors, baby. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Wonderful. Terrific. What you thinking?
So I'm thinking I want y'all's opinion on this, and I don't know if it's a straight answer or a discussion. I want to talk massive contracts. So the Cowboys got Dak, and when I define massive, let's say in the top 3 to 4 of your position. So we got Dak, we got Trayvon, we got CD. I don't know if Osa falls in there, and then you maybe got Micah. What is a threshold, you think, when you've got so many massive contracts, you're diluting the rest of your roster and your Super Bowl chances go down? Is it like 3? Is it 4? Is there not a number? I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate that. That's a great question. I love talking about these type of team building things. I think for a long time that number was valid. But now I think the trend is just to keep going until your team is good enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, the limit is like 14 or 15. I think that's what the Eagles got to this year.
They got to, yeah, they were, I think they were at 12.
12?
What they were.
12
yeah.
double-digit million
yeah, but
contracts.
Yeah, but they were all very reasonable contracts.
That, yeah, they did a Diggs, good job of spreading the
Diggs,
money out.
Diggs isn't the highest one, and neither is Osa. The ones that are high for you are the Dak ones and the CD ones, and Mike is going to be high. So you're at 3, but the Eagles were right there at 12 or 13 with their contracts. So we were marveling at how mm-hmm. they were able to kind of keep their cap numbers low but have so many double-digit guys.
You got to be able to pay a wide receiver, a tackle, a corner, and an edge at least. Yeah. You know, very legitimate money. If you're not willing to do that, then, you know, I don't think you're going to have much of a shot at this. We'll get to GD Live here in just a moment. Let's grab one more phone call. It's Tyson in Plano. What you drinking and what you thinking?
Well, right now, nothing. About to go. Just picked up some good bratwurst from the local meat market.
There you go.
So we're running out. Yeah. And then we're about to pick up some Miller Lite, so it's going to be one for me, one for them. Broadus,
sir,
haven't heard any updates on how the crawfish are going to be this year.
Yeah, I talked to my guy over at Rex's Seafood, Bo Bellamy, and he says the prices are going to come down. We're kind of right around $5.50, $5.25 a pound right now. We should be getting the prices should be getting down. I got into a batch a couple weeks ago. The size wasn't where it needed to be. So I would give this thing about another couple of weeks, and then maybe you'll get a better All right. price and maybe the size. And, again, my guys over there at Rex's Seafood over on Northwest Highway, if you go in there and you can place the order to go, they got 36-pound sacks, and you can pick them up on Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings when you're ready for them.
Sounds good. And – what does a guy have to do to get invited to one of these infamous broadest crawfish boils?
Yeah, there's always a problem with that because if I invite you and you get sick, you could sue the company. So we have to protect against that.
Sad but true. Thank you, Tyson in Plano. Have a great weekend. And thanks to everybody for participating in What You Drinking and What You Thinking. Walton Waco drinking a Stella, getting ready for my Farmers Insurance.
Stella, there you go.
He says he's getting ready for his insurance award banquet where he gets producer of the year.
Yeah, congrats.
And says, get the bleep out of here with that Go Commanders crap from Chris. Thank you, 254. Time to go into the Pimp Cup and kick off a Friday night edition of GD Live.
All right, you squares.
Fight up this funk.
It'll make it dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
My dad's a Vietnam vet. You know, some of them are cool. Some of them don't want to talk about Vietnam. My dad does. Some vets are like, I don't want to talk about it. And my dad's like, what do you want to know? Here's what I wanted to know when I was a kid. It's terrible to ask a stranger this, but it was my own father. And, you know, I'd seen a lot of movies. So I'm like, you're in the war. Did you kill anybody? The first time I asked him that, he goes, no, I didn't. I'm like, all right. Okay. A few years later, I asked him again. Did you ever kill anybody? He goes, it wasn't like that. I was a lieutenant. I was in charge of people. It just didn't work like that. I said, okay. And then a few years later, I asked him again. I go, did you ever kill anybody? And he goes, I threw grenades into bunkers. I go, were there people in there? He goes, there were. Yeah.
There were?
Just little pieces by the time I got in there. Oh, and then last year, I go, did you ever kill anybody? And he goes, there's no better feeling than killing the enemy. Whoa.
Whoa.
No doubt. Welcome in on this Freaky Friday edition of the G-Bag Nation's GD Live here. L.A. still on vacation. He'll return in about 10 days. Send that man some love on social. Let him know he is missed. It's time for a weekend warning, Brian. We want to remind you to not crash out. Do not get arrested.
Don't do it.
And if you do, establish dominance quickly.
Exactly, yeah.
As we do in every edition of L.A. Live here on 105.3 The Fan, we replay the G-Bag of the day. James, who is the current champion?
Well, we've got Mr. Bobby Belt, and we all, if you missed it this morning and you missed it at 2:30 and every day, Monday through Friday, 2:30 G-Bag of the Day, you get to hear Mr. Bobby Belt, and hopefully we see him have this and carry the title in the next coming days, next few weeks. So if you haven't heard it, here it is.
On the cheap, yo, free those spending cash figures. We need zero hands down. I'll take Tommy Sledger, even Rigo, failing all the way through cross. Hey, Joey, where did he go? What's up with this old phony ass loser and his drama? The industry can hate me. F him, go see my mama. How many flaws you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna slash all his money. I'm gay plocking. Play the clip and hide the eye roll if Sean watching. Sometimes you gotta stop down and show better. Certified board op man, take producer out your damn LinkedIn. Walk him out, bro. Fine, you know that he been
okay. So
in,
an absolutely like terrific diss record. I hear you, Bobby Belt taking down Peyton Russell.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Absolute gold. You can, I'm sure, find that on social media.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
All righty, but let's get into some Friday content here in GD Live. What do I have for you boys this evening, Brian?
Five. I looked up five Eagles this year in double in their on their
in double digit millions.
in double digit for cap hits and stuff like that for millions.
Five.
So they spread it out with a ton of guys being around 10.
Yeah, they've got, if you could go all the way down, like their Saquon Barkley would be the last one right around 10.
Okay.
But everybody else is below that. And then, like say, Barkley, Dallas Goedert, Maya Lotta, Lane Johnson, A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, wow.
Those are their double digits.
What they've done is they've set this new trend of creating voidable years at the end of contracts, like Dak and Zach Martin. There's a couple of Cowboys that have them, but they do it with a ton of players, and it allows them to, you know, keep low cap hits on some tremendous players. Jerry Jones, so far, not willing to go there. But let's give you some L.A. Live type of content, because a couple of really interesting things going on in the world today, guys. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You see the earthquake in Thailand?
Hell yeah,
Buildings are falling down.
Holy gosh. Cow. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Buildings under construction were falling. Yeah. Buildings with rooftop pools were shaken so much, like water was flying out of the pools.
Over the side, yeah.
We did see the crane drop, and the crane operator was like,
Launched. Was
trying to escape, but he ended up just falling a couple hundred feet, probably a 7.7 earthquake there in Thailand. And it's sad. It really is. Thousands of people are dead. I saw one video of they're up on the rooftop pool in the patio. Yeah. There's two people in the pool just chilling, kind of like bracing themselves in the corner.
That's insane.
As the water's going like a wave pool splashing out. If you see the videos on social,
it's crazy.
It looks like, I don't know, like the ocean is crashing on the top of these buildings. That's how much water is coming down. I'm not exaggerating. There's that much water.
Yeah.
So that was insane. Anytime you get an earthquake and in a major city and all the buildings swaying and bobbing and weaving and stuff like that. I didn't think of Bangkok as a big earthquake zone. Maybe they need some of those earthquake-proof buildings.
Yeah. You ever been in an earthquake?
No.
I don't think I've ever been in one.
I mean, we felt the shocks of one, like when we were in California. Yeah. I mean, if you count that as an earthquake, yeah. There's been earthquakes like here in Texas.
Yeah,
like tiny ones. You're sitting in your home and you kind of feel like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
Not like the 7.7. Been in hurricanes before.
Hurricanes?
Been a hurricane.
Hurricane survivor.
Had a tornado deal. Yeah.
Hurricane party.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the world, guys. Journalists at this hour are poring over the 80,000 pages of JFK documents that were released last week.
Cliff notes on that.
Find out who did it.
I got the cliff notes.
30 by 30?
Perfect.
30
Thank
for 30.
Goodness. I'm glad somebody's got the cliff notes for this.
Jefferson Morley is a journalist who is leading the charge, and he's going to testify about what he's learned on Tuesday. He's published some on social already. Says at this point he can say there will unlikely be a smoking gun. What we're still dealing with is adding up facts. So there's a lot more facts that appear to implicate the CIA now. And that's kind of like what I believed all these years, but, you know, the organized crime, the Bay of Pigs type stuff.
I think the organized crime was what I believed because of
the mafia.
Yeah, because the Chicago mafia basically got him elected. And there's word that his dad, they turned his back on that mafia. They came after him for that.
One significant document that is now unredacted for the first time was from Arthur Schlesinger, a Kennedy advisor. JFK felt betrayed by the CIA after the Bay of Pigs fiasco and famously said he wanted to shatter it into a million pieces, scatter it into the wind. Schlesinger told him that at the time, 47% of all State Department employees overseas were spying for the CIA. And essentially, they had no interest in carrying out JFK's foreign policy, just their own. French President Charles de Gaulle.
De Gaulle.
Barely survived an assassination himself. He was convinced it was the CIA who didn't want him pulling out of the war in Algeria. So far, he's got 9 documents related to a man with the Bond villain name of James Jesus Angleton or James Jesus. I don't know. What I know about the guy is that he goes back to the days of the OSS during World War II, helped create the CIA after the war, and was one of the most diabolical minds ever to be involved in the field of counter-espionage. He's famous for an approach he called a wilderness of mirrors with double agents, false flag operations, fake leads, a world of confusion to everyone involved or trying to look into what was happening. But only the guy pulling the strings, invariably him, truly understood what the big picture was. Morley calls Angleton a world historic figure. Why does he matter today? Because Lee Harvey Oswald was an asset of him for 4 years. Oswald under constant surveillance no matter where he traveled to. At no point did top CIA officials not have his home address. They have 42 documents and 180 pages of material on him, all of which Angleton later denied, meaning he flat out lied about you know, how they were working with Oswald. One of the most powerful intelligence officials in the history of the U.S. was personally following every move Oswald made. In fact, he had Oswald's file on his desk and knew he was in Dallas, and yet they denied knowing him. And the entire U.S. government apparatus pushed the narrative that he was a lone kook who just happened to have a clean shot of the president of the United States. There's recordings of Presidents Johnson and Nixon saying they think the CIA did Kennedy in. And there's, of course, Jack Ruby, who, according to Morley, was unquestionably working for the mob.
Yeah.
So that is where we sit with the hearings going into next Tuesday, Brian. It's juicy. Yeah.
The CIA, though, with Hoover and Kennedy's brother, Bobby, did not get along at all.
Huh.
So there was always that dynamic where when, you know, with Bobby and he was always like trying to protect his brother and Hoover was always going after him. And so there were a lot of things that dug up about off the field stuff with the Kennedys, and Hoover always was going to play that card, you know. So there's a lot of things that I'm sure we're going to get out of all this that we're studying right now.
Yeah, I can't wait. But 80,000 pages, that's, you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, they'll figure it out.
And I don't think you can just ask AI, because they aren't like text documents. They're like screenshots.
It's like microfiche.
Like ChatGPT can through it there for you.
You're looking at somebody's scribbled notes from five decades ago. Yeah. Like, have fun with that. Okay, why I think relocation might actually end up as a slight possibility for the Mavericks after seeing things in the media this week. We'll talk about that. We'll get Rangers around the bases coming up, as well as the pregame at 6:30, and we're back with all that right here. It's the G-Bag Nation.